let's get rid of that image on the screen right there and bring in my ugly mug instead. There it is. There I am, and there you are. Thanks for being here with me. It's your call. I'm John Milky, the Milkman, and it is your call. This is my never-ending quest to find some common ground on some of the big issues that seem to divide us these days. Sometimes that's politics. Other times it's other things. And we'll get to today's topic in just a matter of moments. I want to address something. A couple of people chimed in sort of around the same time today. So let's get to this. Glenn sent me an email. Hey, man, is there any way that you can... Here's what he said. I know you're a really busy guy, and sometimes your other business interests take priority over your It's Your Call program, but was wondering if there's anywhere you could post somewhere when you'll be elsewhere so we can avoid searching your program only to find you are somewhere else. It's not a complaint by any stretch, just a request. And Anne, who, listen, Anne, I love you. I do. I love you. Anne asks me just about every single day, will you be on today? And I get into it with Anne. Yes, Anne, I've already posted that on my Facebook that I will be on, but then she can't find it. Look, Anne, I know where your question comes from. It's a place of love. You enjoy what I'm doing and you want to be part of it. So that's not lost on me. And I apologize if you think I'm being condescending or, as you put it today, obtuse. Here's the thing. If I'm being blunt, I'm doing way too many things. I am doing way too many things. My situation, in a nutshell, a few years ago, I was happily employed at a radio station. My wife was happily employed at Sears, and we had a business on the side. We had three incomes. My wife's job disappeared. 9 days later, my job disappeared, and we were down to one income. Ever since, for the last 6 years, I have been gasping for breath. I've been taking on every single job I can get in order to try and make ends meet and maintain the quality of life that I have for myself. And that is not a complaint. I'm also someone who, by the way, deals with depression and anxiety. And I'm a workaholic. And by Friday last week, I just got to the point where I was exhausted. And I just, at some point, have to realize I can't keep doing that to myself. So yeah, I disappeared on Friday. Typically, I am here doing this show. This show, fortuitously, started with Lowell, as you know. I chose to take over the time slot, do something a little different. All this to say, this show is important. There's a lot of audience on this show. So, Anne, what frustrates me is, let's say there's 500 people, 600 people conservatively tune into this show. If every single one of them is asking me, are you on today? I just don't have time in my day to get into that with 500-600 people. I do the best I can to let you know that, yes, the show is on today. In other words, the show is on unless I tell you otherwise. To Glenn's question, is there some way for you to let us know when you're not? I typically do. I post on my Facebook page. And I know Facebook's algorithm is weird and it's not easy to find sometimes, but if I'm ever going to not be on, I always, always post that facebook.com/milkmanshow. Updating the website takes a little bit of time. There's logging in, there's browsers involved, upload this, da-da-da. Not complaining. It's just sometimes I just hit the wall. Look, I am doing 9 shows on 5 different stations in 2 different countries. That's my everyday. On top of that, I'm running that existing business. I am owning and operating, coaching, and doing all the behind-the-scenes work to get this radio station on the air, keep it on the air, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I get a little busy sometimes and can't. So my question to you is, where would be the ideal place for me? Since you've obviously got a vested interest in the show. I can't do this without you. Where would be the ideal place for me to post for you that I cannot be on the air. Should there be an email blast? Should there be a text group? Is Facebook satisfactory? You guys let me know. Feel free to put that in the comments. And all of this, by the way, to say that interesting timing on that, because I just found out today from one of the groups of stations I have been doing some work for that the show I've been doing for them will no longer be heard. It's three stations in Southern Ontario. I understand it. Cutbacks. Radio's in a tough time right now. I had a great time being on there. But that's freeing up a little bit of time. And I am, I recognize this show seems to have traction. This is a very important part of my brand. So don't think for a second that I'm ignoring this or wanting to walk away from it. I just need the time to sort out other things around me and really focus on this. The other thing to keep in mind, like you, I'm going to invest my time where the most money is. I've pretty much been without an income for 6 years trying to build my business. So I will be where the sponsorships are. I will be where the audience is. And for me right now, it's this show and it's Carrie and the Milkman, the all-new morning show that I have launched with Carrie Salke at Winnipeg, Manitoba, that we hope we can get onto other radio stations across Canada who are experiencing some budget challenges right now. Can we provide an amazing program to them at a lower cost? That's the objective. So my plan is to be here. Just I need a little time sometimes just to get some of the other things that I've been working on, hand them off to the right people to maintain those, take those over. And look, if I'm being honest with you, I feel in really lousy shape. I am the heaviest I've ever been. I don't sleep well at night. I feel incredibly unhealthy. And I'm frankly very frightened of what my ultimate outcome from all this could be. I want to make positive changes to my physical fitness. I need to change my diet. I need to become more active. They say it all the time, right? Sitting is the new smoking. My day begins at 6 a.m. with a coffee in the living room. And then I make my way downstairs to this studio. I am here from 7 o'clock in the morning, typically till about 11:30 at night. I can't and won't do that anymore to myself. I have paid a very, very heavy physical price. But I've gotten myself to a great spot. I now see the things that are in front of me, the opportunities that exist. Like I said, this show is one of them. So thank you for your comments on that. You can reach out anytime. It's a long-winded reply, but I don't think a lot of you are coming to this show, especially from Lowell, and may not necessarily know who I am or what my story is. That's a little bit of it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I am committed to this, is the long and short of it. But that also ties in, by the way, to what I want to talk about today. Because one of the other things that I do... One of the other projects that I've taken on, as you may be aware, is I produce bingo shows, drag bingo shows especially. So I DJ at those events. We provide sound systems and lighting to Delta Bingo in Peterborough and to Bingoland Gaming Center here in Ottawa. So I'm very, very close with the drag queen community. Now, I'm going to preface this conversation by reminding you that, yes, in fact, I have appeared in drag before. It's a lot of fun to do. And I know some of you are going, wait, I thought you were married. I thought you were straight. And I am. That may shock a lot of people because I think a lot of people think drag is exclusively a gay thing. I did too. And before I even got into drag, I had to check with a good number of my gay friends who do drag, is this okay? And they, of course, said, yeah, why not? So here we go again today with news out of Brockville about a couple of drag queens at the local library going to read some stories. And it's met with protesters. I want to get to the bottom of why are these things being met with protesters? Are you okay with a 50-year-old dressing up in a Star Wars costume and going to a convention at the local hotel? Of course you are. Comic-Con. It's a lot of fun. You as an adult, I'm guessing, probably still dress up and go to Halloween parties. Dress up and take on the character. It's fun to do, isn't it? It is. Are you okay with a woman showing up at a library to read stories and she happens to be dressed in what is typically male attire? A shirt, tie, pants, and a jacket. Are you okay with a woman showing up at a library to read stories while dressed in a suit and tie? Of course you are. So what is this fear, this anxiety, this thing that compels people to want to protest when a man dressing up in the caricature of a female, of a woman, to read stories at a library? The thing that I keep hearing is this is going to turn children gay. It's going to influence their sexuality and their orientation. I don't think I agree with that. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. I really don't think that's going to turn someone gay. I don't think you turn someone gay. I think you are either gay or you are not gay. You are either straight or you are not straight. You are either bi or you are not bi. I really have a hard time believing that something is going to influence that. So here they are protesting in Brockville. First off, okay, if you object to drag queens reading stories in a library to kids, how about this? How about you not send your kids to that? How about you not attend that? You know, I don't like cricket. So you know what I don't do? I don't go and watch cricket. And on and on and on with the list of things that I don't go and do if I don't like them. If you don't like the idea of a drag queen reading stories at a library, don't go. And by the way, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did drag queen bingo, as we have done countless times in the past, at Bingoland Gaming Center here in Ottawa. And before the event came word that there was the possibility of a good number of protesters going to appear at this event. Why? If you object to it, first off, private business, private property, if you don't like it, you don't have to go to it. You can avoid it. Why protest this? What is it about that that is just so terrible that you feel the need to threaten, even threaten, to protest an event like that? If it makes you uncomfortable, if it's not your thing, if you, for whatever reason you have to object to it, why not simply not go? So the fear, many say, is that a drag queen reading stories to children risks turning them gay or is going to have kids questioning their sexuality. I would argue, and I invite your phone calls and your thoughts, 613-604-6464. And again, I just realized I forgot to put the damn camera link on the website. I apologize. I need an intern. for today, 613-604-6464. I would argue that anybody growing up is questioning their sexuality. That's part of growing up. Whether you're conscious about your sexuality and your questioning of it or not is another conversation. But I think most of us pretty much figure that out on our own without any influence. Be honest with yourself. Did anybody influence your sexual orientation? Or did you figure that out on your own? Growing up, were you not aware of gay people, bisexual people, transgender people? Did you make it okay? Did you ultimately end up where you feel is the most natural place for you? Would anybody really have been able to influence you otherwise? I really don't think so. You know, if you've got a child who is hell-bent on making it to the NHL, their whole world is hockey, 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 hockey. That's a natural instinct for them. Okay. A football player shows up at their class one day and starts talking about football. Do you really think that's going to influence this hockey nut to change sports? I know we're kind of comparing apples to oranges here. But I cannot imagine that seeing someone in costume, and that's what it is, by the way, it's a costume. We watch people act as different characters on TV all the time and in movies and in the video games they play. You want to talk about some of the characters that are available in the video games that kids play? The other point, by the way, and listen, if you're uncomfortable with the whole drag thing, you're probably not around it enough to really see it, really understand that it's just acting. It's cosplay, typically done by gay men, but not exclusively. Like I said, I'm a straight guy, but I've done drag. It started out as a joke, by the way. I happen to be good friends with one of the guys that does drag. He was going to be in town doing drag on his birthday. And I kept joking with him. Yeah, if I were to do drag, I'd be the Dairy Queen. Ha ha. He said he wanted to meet the Dairy Queen. So for fun, we did. It was awful. I looked awful. Slapped together with the cheapest stuff from Amazon and from, you know, whoever's closet I could borrow from. And a friend of mine made me up. But after that, it kind of became a thing. Not going to lie. I was hosting some burlesque shows. Oh, by the way, do you object to burlesque shows? You shouldn't. There's no nudity, first off. But people who would book me to MC burlesque shows said, wait a minute, you'll do drag? We'll pay more for that. Okay, guess I'll do some drag. And no, I don't do it every day. I haven't done it in probably 3 or 4 years now. But it's fun to become a character, someone other than who you are. But that can be all put aside here for a moment. What about the many kids out there who are growing up in homes where there are same-sex parents? What about the kids who go home every single day where one or both of their parents are transgender? And by the way, there are a lot of kids in your kid's school who have parents who are same-sex, who have parents who are transgender, who have parents who are bi, who have parents who are swingers, and on and on and on. Those kids live a different reality from the norm, quote unquote. But should their world not be reflected in the everyday? I believe it should be. We got a call coming in, 613-604-6464. Can I get your name, please?
This is Simon.
Hey, oh, hey, Simon, haven't talked to you in a good little while. It's good to hear your voice. What are your thoughts on...
It's been a while since I could actually contribute live. So
well, I'm grateful for it. And Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays to you. Whatever you celebrate, I wish you nothing but
Merry
the best.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you very kindly. Now, what are your feelings on this? Where do you think this comes from? And I, you know, first off, where do we even begin? Are you going to protest a drag event, or are you going to be at a drag event? Where do you fit into that?
If I had to pick one or the other, I would be on the protest side.
Okay.
So, and I can get into that in a little bit for sure. I'm happy to take any of those questions you have. My first thing, though, is I know we're going to try to, we'll try to have a conversation here and try to find some common ground.
That's the idea.
I'm not sure, though, for sure. Now, where I'm coming from is I do not believe in the trans identity. Now, I know that's probably it's a slightly different topic, I know, but maybe even that starting
yes
off
and no.
point, I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if we're able to get a starting point there. With drag, I understand all your points. You know, we're dressing up in a costume. Mm-hmm. We don't object to Star Wars costumes and all that. I think you're talking about people protesting at a private event in Ottawa.
Yep.
I think that's ridiculous. On private property, you have the right to do whatever the hell you want.
Okay,
I
so
care.
Look at that.
I would never attend. There you go.
We're agreeing on something right off the get-go. Okay.
There you go. Even though, yeah, I personally don't agree with it, but that's my opinion. I'm not going to shove my opinion.
But you understand how easy it is to avoid that.
Yeah,
if it's not your thing.
Don't go.
Right. Just like me with cricket. I'm not going to attend a cricket game anytime soon, even if I have free tickets.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
There you go. Now, when it comes to a library, and I'm assuming that was public property.
Of course.
That is where I think a line is being crossed, at least for me.
Okay.
And why that is, I think children are the most impressionable beings.
Sure.
And they question everything, you know, and I believe, and again, this is my personal opinion, and I also believe it's backed by science, but again, that's a different discussion. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. You can't have any change between the two. I don't care what body parts you want to chop off or add on. It's my opinion that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Even if you want to call yourself differently. And I think if young children are exposed to the idea of drag, I do think it causes them to question something that innately they know is correct, or as a little boy is a little boy. And if they see a man dressed in women's clothing and it be seen as normal, I think that causes them to question that. Now, I'd love to hear what you have to respond.
Okay,
to
well,
that.
I'm...
I mean, obviously, I don't... I'm just going to say I don't... hate these people for doing that. It's certainly not coming from there. For me, it's more a chance of, it's more about protecting children and making sure they're not, in the same way I would never take a child to a strip club. I don't want to expose them to something that is potentially harmful. I know obviously the drag queens are keeping their clothes on while they're reading books, but at the same time, I think it is still causing them a lot of consternation and maybe causing them to question something that they know is correct. So I'll let you go now.
When you were, okay, so we're talking, let's say, the average grade 5, grade 6 student, I think is probably
sure.
who would have been, for lack of a better word, the target audience for this drag queen reading in Brockville recently and others. So let's just use the grade 4, 5, 6, someone of that age. And yes, they are absolutely impressionable, 100%. When you think back to when you were that age, Simon, would seeing someone dressed in the opposite attire, okay, if I buy into your argument that there's only males and only females, and by the way, a lot of that I do, I agree. I think, you know, we're born with one or the other. I absolutely do understand, though, how some people feel that they have been born into the wrong body and want to live in one that makes them feel more comfortable. And look, if you want to be, you know, identified as she when you were born a he, I respect that. I, you know, whether I understand it or not, I respect it, and I do understand it. But I know a lot of people don't. It's no different than, and I've used this example before, my mom has always gone by her middle name instead of her first name. That's just a respect thing. She wants to be addressed by this, address her by that, and we can move on with our day. But in the case of you or me in grade 4 or 5, seeing someone in a fun, colorful outfit happens to be a man dressed as a woman, does that really prompt questions in your mind about your sexuality, about your orientation?
Well, I think context matters. So when I was taking the bus home from school, for instance, or going to the mall, and I see a guy in a very low-cut dress and a very hairy chest poking out the top, I think that looks like a crazy person. So I think if you're seeing it in public like that, or, you know, at the mall or whatever, that's different. But at an event that's organized, and because, again, this is public property in a library, most likely government-approved, I'm assuming.
Yep. Certainly on a municipal level anyway,
Right, yeah, and I just think that sends a very different message to the kid.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate and go back to something that I mentioned in my preamble.
Yeah.
Do you have any objection to a female showing up dressed in a shirt and tie at that same library and reading stories to those same children?
It's a very good question, and not one that has ever been posed to me. Because it's a little more normal these days, I would say, for women to wear clothing like a suit and tie that's more traditional for a man.
It is.
It has become normalized, and I understand that it's more of a business attire. That's something that, you know what, I think I would be okay with it. But again, if it's being promoted as this is a drag show, I think that's where the problem would occur, because you can still have a woman who, you know, is dressed traditionally as a man would, but if they're still saying, yes, I'm a woman just because of what I'm wearing, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never been to a drag show. I don't plan on going to one.
Sure.
But would they not just present completely as a woman and say, you know, be very open about the fact that, yes, I am a woman, even though everyone knows they're a man? Is that kind of how it goes?
Again, well, any of the drag queens I've been around, they've adopted a character, right? It's Mrs. Doubtfire is the best way to think about it. Now, I know Mrs. Doubtfire was not a drag queen, and we understand why Robin Williams, or the character that, you know, he played, you know, he dressed like that in order to maintain a relationship with his kids in the middle of divorce, right? Very different thing. But how did we get to the point of accepting women wearing men's clothes? And I am of the age, Simon, I think you and I are a little different in age, if I remember, you know, just based on conversation.
With it.
Okay. And I'll be 54 in February. So, you know, I remember the conversations that went on in my own house with a sister who wanted to wear jeans to school, and the pushback that no, girls don't wear jeans. Girls wear dresses. And we find ourselves now in this world where, you know, seeing a woman dressed in jeans, you wouldn't think twice about it.
No.
So
she's still presenting as a woman.
Okay.
Whereas I don't believe if society were to come to a point where it was normal for a man to wander around in a skirt, then, you know, maybe it's a different conversation.
And why isn't it normal? Why shouldn't it be?
Maybe it's because men don't like wearing skirts. It could be something as simple
some
as
men,
that.
Some men do, though.
But some men do. When they're present, so again, I think it all depends on the context of the situation. If the man is comfortable wearing a skirt, but is still saying, you know, this is me as a, I'm a man, I'm going to act as a man, even though I'm wearing a skirt, that's different. Do you kind of understand what I'm trying to say on this?
I do.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for the conversation, even if we don't necessarily agree. That's the whole.
For sure. You,
that's
you
the whole
a real
point
nice
of this show.
Topic for a Monday.
Well, it was right there in the Ottawa Sun today, and
yeah.
I can't let it go. And yes, granted, listen, I'm a little close to this, but how would you feel if I was dictating what you could or could not wear in public? You know, Simon wants to present as Simon, but John is saying, yeah, but Simon, you can't wear those shoes. That's just not what we expect of you.
Sure. And I'll go back to the context question and the setting. When it's being presented to children who are, again, the most impressionable. And I think if it's being presented as something good and, downright normal, mm-hmm. I don't believe drag shows are, they are, I don't want to call them abnormal, but, they're not, it's not. Look. For most, everyone. It's not something that appeals to everyone.
All you have to do is watch an episode of Drag Race to know that, look, it's campy, and it's campy on purpose. It is extreme. It is over the top. And it's an exaggeration of mm-hmm. a female persona typically presented by, but not exclusively, by gay men. And the reverse is also so true, by the way. There are women who do drag as drag kings who present as men. Would you be okay with a drag king reading stories to kids?
No. Because I think the same context would apply. My same answer would apply. But I would like to throw out a question. I know you have quite a few female audience members. Mm-hmm. I would like to know if that's something that they find offensive, if a man is dressing up in a costume as a woman. I don't really know, but I would like to put that question out there. If it is something that they truly don't like.
All right. Well, the audience is listening on Twitch, on Facebook, etc., and so feel free to chime in. Do you find that offensive when men try, or not try, when men take on the persona of a female?
So, there are certain costumes that are banned for me as a white male. I am not allowed to dress up as a different race or a different ethnicity that's deemed as offensive today. And I was wondering if the same would apply to a drag queen. I really don't know.
I think cultural appropriation is very different, though, than gender appropriation. I mean,
interesting conversation.
Yeah, no, it is. Thank you. Finally, I'm having an interesting conversation on a talk show. But yeah, as I say that, I'm like, I don't know why I feel that's different, but I do. Liz, by the way, is the first to answer your question. She says, nope, not offended at all.
Okay, there we are.
Yep, Gary says, when I saw Dolly Parton in the Sioux, third row, she addressed the fact that there was such a diverse crowd, and she thanked all the gay dudes up front for their support and money. She said that's what happens after 50 years of drag shows featuring a Dolly Parton. Murray's asking, what would Lowell Green say? I don't know, Murray. Lowell doesn't have a show anymore.
This isn't Lowell's show.
Thank you very much.
We're done.
Lowell said he was done, and he's moved on, and John said, okay, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to take over, and I'm going to ask the questions around here. Simon, listen, I hear you. I just don't understand. Okay, let me ask you one final question. We're into a little overtime here, but I think it's worth having this conversation. Okay, so we're talking about that same child, grade 4, 5, or 6. And in their house, they have same-sex parents. They have trans parents. You may not agree with the whole trans thing, but I think you have to accept, and I think you do accept, that in the real world, there are some households where there are trans people, and some of them are parents, no matter how you feel about it. Should that world, for those kids, because they don't go home to a mommy and a daddy. They go home to a mommy and a mommy, or they go home to a daddy and a daddy, or they go home to a mommy who was a daddy and a daddy who was a mommy. Should their world not be reflected in our public libraries as well?
Well, honestly, this sounds like a conversation to be had over a beer, because what I believe is, again, when we're talking about trans parents or whether it's gay parents, I understand those things are real, but whether that contributes to the healthiest society I've ever seen, I'm not sure. So I can understand where you say, maybe we should have that reality reflected in the real world. I don't believe it's a good reality to reflect.
And therein probably lies part of the problem. And that's kind of what we're trying to get to with this conversation. We're not trying to solve the world's problems. We're just sort of trying to make sense of some of it and see if, you can't move me a little to your side and I can't move you a little to your side and maybe have you ask some questions and consider some things that hadn't been considered before, Simon. And I always appreciate, you're always very insightful and you're welcome on the show. Always, even if we don't agree.
For sure. Appreciate you taking the call, John.
Keep always, man. Merry Christmas to you, Simon. Really appreciate hearing from you. All the best. Okay. Let's get to some of the comments. By the way, the show is brought to you by McCarthy Automotive. amazing auto service, whether it's something simple, like you just need a tire topped up with air, or, you know, the battery's running low, or you need a slight wheel adjustment, or something, you know, a little more involved, transmission work, mufflers, brakes, etc. McCarthy Automotive, 1150 Heron Road, family-owned and operated since 2003. They will treat your car as if it's their own every single time. 1150 Heron Road, McCarthyAutomotive.ca. A phone call from the 902 area code. How are things in, I'm going to assume, Halifax?
No, I'm from Alberta.
Alberta, okay, with a nice fake southern accent. This bodes well. This phone call, I'm sure, is not going to be a spoof or a crank call at all. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you think about the trends? With the drag show, I don't think that it's anti-trans to not appreciate the drag show aspect.
I'm not following your question. It's anti-trans to not follow the drag show.
No, I believe the opposite.
Say it again.
I think where people get confused is they think it is transphobic because a lot of these places have trans people. But I would argue that if it was heterosexual, like a normal strip club, it would also be inappropriate.
How so?
To take a child to...
Oh, to take a child? Yes, of course. Yes, well, okay, yes. Except you need to understand...
I don't think it's transphobic to be against drag shows with children, if you know what I mean.
Except that at a drag, have you ever been to a drag show?
No.
You do know that there's absolutely no nudity at a drag show.
But it could still be very sexual.
It can be, sure. And mm-hmm. and I will absolutely agree with you. Children should not be in that environment. But I have to... I can say this with a lot of confidence. If you're a drag queen reading stories to children in a public library, there's nothing sexual about that. The content.
Well, how would they be dressed?
As a woman. Top woman.
You could dress as a woman, but still dress appropriately.
Some of them do.
Well,
the last drag show I produced, the two drag queens came out dressed in bathtubs.
Well, yes, there's nothing sexual about a bathtub.
Right. No.
It depends on what they would be wearing. I've seen drag shows online where very skimpy, very...
Absolutely.
Not much cover.
Absolutely. And drag shows in a bar are going to involve a lot of that. Sure. And you know, but by and large, the drag shows, they're lip-syncing competitions. It's guys dressed as women lip-syncing songs, pretending to sing the songs, but pretending that they're Celine Dion, pretending that they're Mariah Carey. And I have yet to be at a drag show, and I have yet to produce a drag show where any of the clothing comes off.
Yes, but how revealing is the clothing?
Not very. What could I dressed as a woman possibly reveal?
Like a short skirt.
And what would that reveal?
Your undergarments.
So probably about three layers of pantyhose, probably some Spanx. Probably.
Yeah,
some...
but what if it's not that?
Well, again, we're not taking drag. Okay, you and I would agree
but
on
you
this.
You can dress as a woman. You can dress as a woman. Being a man, you can dress as a woman, but you can still dress appropriately.
Of course.
If there are children around.
Of course. And
so you don't need a short skirt. You don't need.
And this is, I think, where a lot of the issue lies, is that some people hear the term drag, and rightly or wrongly, they have in their mind, as you do, the image that this is going to be someone who's dressed inappropriately in short skirts.
I've seen videos like this.
Okay, and listen, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but you have to have some. You have to believe that at a public library, in that environment, that's not the show. That's not the performance that that person is going to put on. Because I'll tell you this, I've been to puppet shows. I've seen Jeff Dunham do his puppeteering. And there's a lot of sexual content that comes out of those puppets' mouths, so to speak.
It's an adult venue.
Thank you very much. But then you can take those same puppets and you can take them to a children's school and do an entirely different show, can't you?
Right, yep.
There you go. So I think
those puppets have revealing attributes about them that would be inherently sexual?
I believe I've seen Peanut dressed in a little banana hammock, yes.
I don't mean them specifically, but for your analogy.
But the analogy that I'm making is, if I'm going to present, if I'm the librarian, okay, and the library is owned by the taxpayers of whatever city, okay, you're in Alberta, I'm in Ottawa, so I own the public library. I have to, as a taxpayer, have some confidence and put some trust, just as I do in teachers, just as I do in religious, you know, whether it's an imam or a rabbi or a priest at a church, I have to trust that the content they are going to present in front of whatever audience is going to be appropriate to that audience. And that if a drag queen comes walking in wearing a short skirt and a thong and has, exposed fake nipples, etc., no, get the hell out of the library. That's inappropriate for this audience.
So we're on the same page. Cool.
But if you were talking specifically about libraries. Well, that was what the protest was on the weekend, was that there was, and a lot of these ratings, and you see them all over the place.
I joined the podcast late.
That's okay.
I didn't,
But you joined and you chimed in, and I appreciate, and I appreciate your thoughts. And I think
I only wanted to make a point that I feel like there's a confusion, because I'm not against drag shows. I'm not against trans people.
Right.
I just think that there's a discourse that is being thrown out the window because of virtue signal, where if you are to say something could be inappropriate, then the other side will say that is transphobic. But I don't believe that. I don't believe it's transphobic.
No, I agree with you on that. I think, they're inappropriate. You need to read the room. Right. And the strip club analogy is just that. OK, that room is going to be, depending on, what the strip club's target audience is. But you and I are I think you're male. I'm male. OK, so, the strip clubs I go to, it's predominantly females on stage dancing. And the dancing and the behavior of the dancers is exactly what you would expect in a room full of 18 plus year old men. Right. The tops come off. It's skimpy clothes. It's stiletto heels. It's lingerie. It's the lap dances. It's all of that. And
what I feel like is happening in society is, say, if you were to take your kids to a strip club, heterosexual, everyone is cisgender. I feel like what's happening is, if you were to speak, analogy wise, if you were to speak out against taking your children to a strip club, it would be like people saying, well, that's sexist against women.
Well, I think you and I would probably be on the same team on that. I think the idea of taking kids to a strip club is absolutely inappropriate.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
But it wouldn't be sexist, right? It wouldn't be sexist against women to say that you shouldn't take your kids to a strip club.
No, that's just inappropriate for children, regardless of gender, regardless of orientation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So regardless of transgender issues, it can be inappropriate to take your kids to specific drag shows. And it doesn't have to be transphobic to be against certain drag shows. Maybe not
you
all,
just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the problem, is that people are protesting this, not understanding what this mm-hmm. particular show is, what, you know, the creation. And you know what? Like, use the Nutcracker as an example. Wonderful ballet. There are a lot of gay men dressed in very skimpy outfits, revealing mm-hmm. a lot of things that, you know, some people may find to be a little too much. But I don't think that that's really harming children. In fact, I remember being packed onto a school bus and taken down to the NAC to watch the Nutcracker on many occasions, you know, during the holidays. But again, it's appropriate. If that was being performed in a thong, yeah, shut that down in a heartbeat and make it 18 plus, adults only.
Yes. So I think my what I would hope to see the not just the trans community, but the drag community do, is acknowledge that there are certain valid criticisms coming from the right, but obviously things go too far on both ends. To assume that all drag shows are inherently sexual is wrong. To assume that all things that are being bad is being done by the transgender community, that's also wrong. But when certain things are pointed out, we can't just dismiss them automatically.
And I think you just articulated exactly where this problem lies. We're not communicating about exactly what these things are properly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And
the marketing is bad.
I didn't know that you were talking about this library situation. I don't know anything about it. But I thought you guys were just talking specifically about drag shows.
Well, we are. But I mean, you know, what prompted the conversation, we're talking in general terms. What prompted today's conversation was that there were drag queens reading stories to children at the public library in Brockville. And it was met with protesters. And those protesters were met with protesters on the other side of things who were trying, I guess, to make exactly the same point that you're making, that you're protesting the inappropriateness of this without even realizing that there's nothing about this that's inappropriate because they're dressed
exactly.
in ball gowns. They're not dressed in G-strings.
Right. And people should be more cautious of what they protest without knowing what exactly they're protesting.
I love that we ended up in this place, in this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, whatever holiday you are celebrating, I wish you absolute warmth and peace and happiness. Thank you very much for being part of It's Your Call today.
You.
I appreciate
it. You too, my friend.
Thank you so much. Right on. See, that's what I want, is just, we don't have to agree, but I think we heard some things there that are worth considering, things that I really hadn't thought of before. And I say that as someone who, again, produces drag shows. Okay, so we need to do better as producers at articulating what differentiates the drag show that is labeled 18 plus at a bingo hall versus someone dressing up, as was said in the chat room a few minutes ago, in a ball gown, reading stories to children. Okay. Noted. And I really appreciate the open minds on this. Donna says, I can be your intern to help out when you need it. Donna, don't, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. I can be a really difficult person. No, I appreciate that. I agree with Simon, says this person, drag should be done in private and not in public places such as the library. I would be interested in hearing from you again after that last conversation, now that you sort of understand that I think there is some misunderstanding about the attire and whether, you know, and how that's going to be different for someone, you know, in an 18 plus environment than at a library. At a library, it's campy, sure, but it's Mrs. Doubtfire. And it's really about as sexual as what you would see someone dressed up as at Comic-Con. In a lot of cases, it's really just that innocent. And I think that's kind of where we ended up in this conversation, is that it's not, people who haven't experienced drag and don't want to experience drag, and I appreciate that, it's not for everyone, not indifferent to stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is actually a great example. Think of the variety of language and topics discussed at a stand-up comedy show, right? The idea that, you know, George Carlin, and there's a great example. George Carlin was the conductor on children's shows, and the content he produced and put out on the children's shows was age-appropriate. But you wouldn't take that same kid who's watching him as the conductor on TV to a George Carlin stand-up show at the National Arts Center, because they're going to hear things that are adult only. So it's all in the context and it's all in the marketing. And if you're not open to what a drag show is, or if you have preconceived notions about a drag show, then you're kind of stuck in that, I don't know what it is, but I'm only going to live in this preconceived notion. Okay. So open your minds a little bit. Understand that drag shows are not strip shows. Some are, but by and large, they're not. It's glorified karaoke. And I will do better on behalf of people who market drag shows to articulate exactly what that show is and is not. What a great conversation. If I didn't get a chance to read your comment on air, I apologize, but I will always venture to do my best. Know that I will go back and read them all on Facebook, on Twitch, YouTube, etc., and by text on It's Your Call. Back tomorrow.